This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You're listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. We are counting down to April 24th. That is the first night of the NFL draft. And we will have all the coverage right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for you. Mike and I will be down at Mercedes-Benz, as a matter of fact, getting you ready for all the coverage that night. But Mike, as we talk about where our team is and what's going on with our team, first and foremost, let's talk about Braylon Trice, because how confident are you that he is going to come back and be a player, a difference maker for this defense? Now, I'll say this. At camp, we had a chance to visit with him briefly. We talked to him. He looked the part. We didn't see him because of the injury. Obviously, that happened, you know, in the preseason, Mike. But we liked what we saw, and we thought he had a really good chance to have an impact.
Yeah, and I know that, unfortunately, with the injury in Miami, we never got to see him on the field. And I've asked and I've joked around about it with D. Orlando Ledbetter from the HAC a couple times about, you know, I really like Braylon Trice. No, he's just a dude. He's just average. He was okay at Washington, but, you know, it's better competition, so I don't expect much from him. But I'm always, come on, D. So hopefully D will be wrong about that. And Braylon Trice, and I think the coaching staff and certainly the general manager would feel he's going to be more than that. If he can really pop and play off of Leonard Floyd or however they're going to use him, because I'm curious to see how these rotations work now with the guys that we've added. You know, Morgan Fox, and just, some would say, who's that, you know, role player from San Diego and now L.A. Chargers. But we got depth, but Ebiketie, that's why, you know, it's hard because every time you and I go down this road, it's if he stays healthy, if he can impact Ruka, what, IR last year. Haven't seen much of Troy Anderson in the last two seasons. These are all big cogs in the defense.
They are. And so as we talk about the players that we still don't know about, we are going to draft a player in the first round, and we're going to talk about what that might look like here in a second. But, Mike, one of the other things that's kind of just being thrown out there, and I think we've said this, and I know you've said it as a matter of fact, which is if we don't go to the playoffs, general manager is going to get replaced.
Correct.
So going into the season, regardless of what happens in this draft, we already know how free agency played out. We should have made the playoffs last year. Ifs and buts were nuts and blah, blah, blah.
We never go hungry.
But going into the season, you're telling me right now that Terry Fontenot is on the hot seat. And again, this is all predicated on whether or not we get to the playoffs, right? It's that simple.
That's it. I mean, 7 years. Now, the first three aren't on him. You could argue that you maybe give him a pass for 21 because he inherited that salary cap mess. But you got 4 years regardless. 4 years of no playoffs. 7 years for the franchise now. And I don't know any owner, and I know Arthur Blank hates to have to reset this thing because here we go again. Mm. But, yeah, I can't imagine that you're not going to get fired if you don't go to the playoffs. And maybe Raheem Morris with him if they don't go. I mean, you were 6-3. We all know that Kirk Cousins presented a set of circumstances that no one has ever seen, even here in Atlanta, where we had some crazy stuff in the 60-some-odd years of this team. But, man, they got to, Carl, they got to go. They've got to. They got to win this division. Got to make the playoffs. I think everyone gets got if they don't.
All right, 404-726-0929. We're not saying that as a threat. We're simply saying it because it's what we believe to be true. And when Arthur Blank was asked about it, what did he say? Well, they knew I was upset. I think he kind of put his foot down and said, of course, he was disappointed in the results at the end of our last season. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like knowing Arthur Blank like we do, he probably said, hey, it's poop or go home, win or go home. Like, we need to see progress. And, Mike, that's the issue. Did we feel like we saw progress last year? See, when Terry first got here, right, and the guy he got here with is no longer here, so we can't talk about him, and that's Arthur Smith. But you felt like, okay, first year, no expectations. Second year, okay, we got a little money. Third year, are we seeing progress as we continue to move through this general manager's tenure?
I mean, the defense is as much of a mystery now than it was 4 years ago. You know, I mean, we had Dean Pease who came in, and I thought actually did a pretty darn good job. You know, Ryan Nielsen I thought was okay. But at the end of the day, you got to have the Jims and Joes. No, none of those X and O's you're going to try are going to work unless you get better athletes. We've missed on too many projects like Troy Anderson.
Yeah.
I think that Rook is a calculated risk, but I think you're a little bit higher on him than I am. Hopefully he does step up. But we've got to get – you cannot draft second-round and third-round players and not get anything from them, let alone the first-rounders. It's been almost exclusively offense for this team. So this year – whether it's going to be a Georgia Bulldog or it's going to be, you know, somebody from somewhere else in the SEC, you've got to get – they've got to get impact. I know we joke around about it, but yes, even though – you know, you and I spent a lot of time this year about why we never draft Georgia players, and this precedes Terry Fontenot. But this is a year – if you want to keep your job, to your point earlier, you can't just go get a Georgia player because you want to placate the fan base.
Correct.
You got to make sure that Malachi Starks is better than Mike Green, is better than Pierce, is better than Shamar Stewart. And if Jalen Walker's available, then you go grab him too, right?
Yeah, look,
but it's got to work.
That's the thing, and I mean that's not to get Georgia fans upset. I think it's just the way things are. If these guys are rated higher on your board, then you pick them and you believe in it. And if it doesn't work out, Mike, then you had as much conviction in that pick as you did when you picked Michael Penix. Either way, big decisions for our team as we talk about our Falcons. Find us, by the way, on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game.
Hey, man, there is a big, big article on Zach Robinson and the offense by Mark Raimondi that came out, I think, yesterday from ESPN.com. So it's not behind a paywall, guys. You can find it if you want to read. Our buddy Mark comes on the show on a regular basis. But he basically talks about him going back to his time at Oklahoma, talks about, you know, working for Sean McVay, and then, you know, did this offense. What was this offense? Now, it's hard to kind of judge Zach Robinson because he was a first-year OC, first time it's all on him, and then you had to deal with this Cousins thing, which is kind of unprecedented, right? But then you say, is he the right guy for what we're doing? Is he the right guy for getting Pitts to maximize his talents? I think so. I mean, I know he wants to run the football. We know we can do that with Bijan, but what if I say Zach Robinson, what was the first thing that comes to your mind from last year?
Well, look, I think he did a good job, and here's why. I think Zach was a victim of Kirk Cousins' inability to do the things he wanted to do in this offense. And when I say victim, I'm not talking about feeling sorry for him. What I mean is you've got a script of plays that you can't go to because your quarterback is unable to do the things you need him to do. And so then, Mike, I have to pivot and change my outlook on how I'm going to approach these games. Guys, it's why we were so limited with Cousins in the shotgun and some of the formations that we ran. So, Mike, I feel like he's got a feel. Listen, this is his first year calling plays, okay? Right. He's not Sean McVay yet. But I think he gets it. And I also think you put Penix in there and you give him some more mobility and some more options to open up that playbook. This looks completely different. Things he wanted to do, he wasn't able to do. So I would tell you how I look at him as I think he's capable. I think he showed last year that, hey, there were times and drives where you felt like, okay, he's changing things up. We don't look the same. He's trying to do some different things. But there was a limitation on the stuff that he wanted to get into on this offense as the season moved along, and you couldn't because of your quarterback.
And it's interesting. Again, it's a big article, but Mark Raimondi goes real in-depth on this. And you and I have talked about, and when we talk about Kyle Pitts, sometimes you say, on the I'm on his side argument,
right,
they use 11 personnel a lot. And they got Drake London basically working out of the slot, 39.1% of the snaps, according to Next Gen. So some would say the Puka Nacua role in that offense is maybe better suited, at least on the field, for a body like Kyle Pitts. At least, you know, how you'd think you'd use him in the kind of athleticism he presents. But they use Drake London in that role, which maybe creates, and I'm not going to say, you know, scraps, but maybe less opportunities for Pitts. And maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, and remember,
I mean, he's still got to do his job. He's got to run routes. He's got to block. He's got to do everything they ask of you.
But remember early in the season, too, you know, we got wind that Cousins was saying, you know, was he in the right places? We're talking about Pitts. Meaning, was he running the routes he should be running on certain plays? And it gave us the perception, not necessarily true, but it gave us the perception that maybe he wasn't where he was supposed to be, and so Cousins wasn't going to throw him the ball. Right?
Right.
So that played into, all right, us doubting like what you're talking about, which is, are they using him the right way? Either way, I feel like, you know, again, this is make or break. We're going to find out. And here's the thing, too. As an offensive coordinator, and Rod knows this, he's been on both sides of the ball, Coach Raheem Morris. Mike, if it ain't working with a dude, you change it up.
Right.
He's not forced to stay in that position. He's not forced to be the X or the Y or whatever the terminology is in an offense if you feel like he can do something else. You got to be flexible. And if you're not, you're not going to last. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they asked him to do one thing and he wasn't able to do it. If you're a good coaching staff, you go, look, he's not doing that well. We got to move him out here and play something different, do something different with the guy.
And, you know, something you and I have talked about, Zach Robinson's job is not here to validate Kyle Pitts.
Correct.
I would think, though, when they hired him, that, I mean, I can't imagine that that position doesn't come up in the conversation. T. Higgins was kind of more of your standard tight end. Statistically, he basically did the same stuff that Pitts was doing. So maybe it's just Pitts is a bad fit for this offense. Now, we were just a few plays away from Darnell Mooney and London both being 1,000-yard receivers. Darnell had 992 yards, and of course Drake had a great year, 1,271 with 9 scores. But Mooney and London, they could have been 1,000-yard receivers. So maybe in this 11 personnel, Pitts is just not going to be the guy, which isn't good for his contract year.
Well,
unless they find a way.
Mooney's production fell off when Kirk Cousins' production fell off.
Right.
And then he got hurt at the end of the season, didn't play the last game or whatever. But Darnell Mooney, I think, proved to us he can play. And if we can deliver the ball down the field, which I hope Penix can, he's going to be an asset to us. The other part, Mike, I don't know about. Like, you know me. I have my reservations about what Kyle's going to do. And, you know, a friend of mine sent me the whole podcast this weekend. I heard y'all talking about it, Dukes. So I'm going to send you to the Cam Newton. I said, I know. I can see it. I hear you.
Yeah, that was, if you didn't, we played it last week. Penix, you know, talking to Kyle Pitts going on Cam Newton podcast and basically said, hey, man, you know. Offense could get jammed up. Offensive line might be getting jammed up.
And by the way, I watched it because out of respect, I wanted to make sure that in context, we were talking about the things we need to talk about with him. But I liked his energy.
Right.
But I wish that energy was translated to the field. Like, I love what he was saying with Cam and how he was talking about things, but that's got to translate to the field, man.
Right. In the article that Mark Grimondi wrote about Zach Robinson, obviously he's pumping up his quarterback, sees the game, so fluid, talked about, you know, he sees the game like a veteran breaking down film. You know, we saw Penix Jr., like, he did enough in that throw. Speaking of Pitts, I know I harp on it, but in the Commanders game, in a basically de facto playoff game for us on Sunday Night Football, Penix did enough to win that game after you made a rookie mistake.
Yeah. All right, guys. Plenty more to get to, including our visit with Grant McCauley. He covers the Braves and MLB for us. Chris Sale struggled yesterday.
Ugh.
And when that happens, you're not going to win a lot of games.